Well, good evening and welcome to Kingdom Encounter Live. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. So glad to have you join us tonight. I know this is going to be a right now word for you, and we're going to jump right into it in the name of Jesus. Man, there's such a excitement in the air. In fact, yesterday I was in prayer with one of my pastor friends, and man, we began to talk about how God did not send you a cheap old version. God sent his best when he sent Jesus to come and die just for you and for me. But see, if you stop the story right there, you miss the whole point. See, Jesus didn't just come and die. Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life, and that at the he started his ministry at the age of 30, and by the time he got to the age of 33, he was on his way to the cross to lay down his life. It didn't say anybody took his life. It said he laid down his life. And tonight, what we're going to really be diving into is the fact that Jesus came to make you free. Jesus came to make you and I free. And it's so important that we understand that, because see, if you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you will misuse it. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, then you won't use it in its full, you won't get the full benefit out of what it is that thing was here for. It's kind of like if you had a DACA, a nail in the wall, you know, you don't want to go and get your brand new iPhone and try to knock a nail in the wall. Why? Because the iPhone wasn't designed to be used as a hammer. But if you go get a hammer and knock that nail into the wall, you will get a much better result and little, if any, damage to the hammer at all. And see, that's the same thing when you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't understand why he really came, if you don't understand what his whole mission was, if you don't understand what his purpose was, every time around this time of year, we call it, you know, the world calls it Easter, we call it the Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus got up and made his triumphant return. He took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, overcoming the adversary by the power of the Holy Spirit, and was raised again, sat at the right hand of the Father on majesty on high, whose ministry is still as in effect today as it was when he was on the earth. And can I get one amen from you out there in the name of Jesus? So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to be talking about Jesus came to make you free. Now, I find in my Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. It says the thief, now the thief here is referencing the adversary, the devil. And this is what he says. He has three things he's coming to do. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Now, most people would just kind of read over that and not take time to try to break down what is he trying to steal, what is he trying to kill, and what's he trying to destroy. Well, the great thing about the Word of God is it really explains itself. Well, the first thing he wants to steal your identity, because he understands if he steals your identity, then it will be more easy for him to do the second thing, and that is to kill your purpose. You ever notice that most people live their whole life trying to figure out, you know, who they are and why they're here? And see, I love the thing about the Bible is all the way back in the Garden of Eden, the adversary was trying to do the same thing. He wanted to steal, he wanted to kill, and he wanted to destroy Adam and Eve. And what did he do? He got them to question their identity. In Genesis chapter 3, when he says, did God really say that you could not eat of all the trees of the garden? And Eve said, of course we can eat of all the trees except that one tree. She says, of that one tree we shall eat of it, neither shall we even touch it, because the moment we do, we will die. And the adversary said, you won't really die. See, God already knows that the moment you eat of that, partake of that fruit of that tree, you will be just like him. So what was he trying to do? Convince Adam and Eve that they did not have the identity of God, even when God says, I've made you in my image and I've made you in my likeness. Why was he trying to get them? Why was he trying to appeal to her identity? Well, because he knew if she didn't understand her identity, then she definitely wouldn't understand the second part. she wouldn't understand her purpose. And see, when you understand that when God created Adam and Eve, he says, then the two shall become one and they shall be one flesh. And what should they do? He told them in Genesis chapter 1, 28, he says, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful. He says, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. So what was God telling them? He says, I've already blessed you. He says, I've already empowered you to do what? To be fruitful, always be producing, multiply, always be increasing, replenish, always fill and refill, and subdue. Always have authority over every situation and circumstance that you come up against in the earth. So if the adversary could convince Adam and Eve that they didn't have the identity of God, that they didn't because they didn't have the full identity of God, then they would not be able to fulfill their purpose. Guess what else he was trying to get them to do? To destroy their life. But he knew he couldn't destroy their life. He had to convince them to destroy their own lives. And guess what? He does the same thing with you and I still today. He does it through the power of suggestion. And how do you know that? Because even when he was dealing with our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, if you are the Son of God. Well, he had just heard God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased. So he's trying to get Jesus to try to question his identity to do what? Destroy his purpose. And we're going to find out what Jesus' purpose was, because remember, Jesus came to make you free. See, he said, you know what? If you go just bow down to me just one time, I'll give all these things to you. Well, Jesus already knew if he fulfilled the purpose of God, all these things and so much more would be his if he did not leave his purpose. You see how this works. If he can attack your identity, if he can steal your identity, he can kill your purpose. His ultimate goal is to what? Destroy your life. That doesn't mean that you won't live. That just means you won't live the God kind of life, or the life that God intended you to live from the foundation of the world. And because Adam and Eve bowed their knee to the adversary, he couldn't make them, but he had to convince them that they didn't know what their identity was. They forgot what their purpose was. And as a result, they partook of the fruit and they ended up dying. And when they didn't physically die at first, what that word die means, they were separated from God, which means they was translated from one kingdom, the kingdom of God, over into the kingdom of darkness, which they never knew, which was the adversary's goal all along. But how many people know God will never be outdone? In Genesis 3:15, God already told Adam, the adversary, what was he going to do? He says, this woman right here, he says, you know, there's going to be enmity between you and that woman. And he says, and her seed and your seed. Now, your seed will bruise the heel of this woman. It says, but this woman's seed will crush your head. In other words, he's going to take back all the authority, all the purposes, all the identity that the adversary believed he won on that day. And Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. Now, did you understand that the thief's coming to steal your identity, trying to kill your purpose so he can destroy your life so that you don't live the God kind of life? But Jesus says this. He says, but I came. He says, but I came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Not just life, but the God kind of life. And Jesus says, and that you might have life in abundance to the full, until it overflows. He says, and I am the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd gives his life up for the sheep. Jesus is telling you, hey, my identity is I am the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. He says, and my purpose is to give my life for the sheep so that they could have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now, Jesus is still talking here in 1 John chapter 3, still talking about Jesus came to make you free. Jesus says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 7, he says this, little children, let no one deceive you. Now, that's a powerful statement, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he says, one of the signs or the indicators that his imminent return is near, or the endless age is coming, is deception will be running rampant. But Jesus says this in John, in 1 John 3:7, he says, let no one deceive you. He says, he who practices righteousness or right standing with God is righteous, just as he is righteous. Who's righteous? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but he who sins is of the devil. And let me simplify that for you. That word sin doesn't mean the fact where you just missed the mark. That word sin means that you are practicing a lifestyle of sinning, or a lifestyle of missing the mark, a lifestyle ignoring God's way, a lifestyle of doing your thing any old way, living your way, obeying your thirst. He says, if you are someone who practices a lifestyle of sin, he says, you are of the devil or the adversary. Why? For the adversary has sinned from the beginning. And he says, and for this purpose. Remember, the adversary was trying to get Jesus to get sin so that he can get cause Jesus to forfeit his purpose. But Jesus stayed, kept focused, and he kept his eye on the prize. For he says, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might do what? Destroy the works, the trickeries, the schemes, the plot, the wiles of the devil. He says, Jesus says, remember, he says, I came that you might have life in abundance to the full, or to your overflows. He says, but I've also come to destroy the works of the devil. He says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. What does that mean? Whoever was born of God does not continue to practice a lifestyle of sin. Why don't you continue to practice a lifestyle of sin? Because his seed, talking about the seed of our Lord Jesus Christ, remains in you, and you cannot sin because you have been born of God. Remember, when you got born again, when you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, in according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, it says, if any man or woman be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus came to make you free. In fact, it says this in Luke chapter 4, still talking about how Jesus came. Remember, the adversary came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life in abundance till it full, until it overflows. He says this, Jesus, this is written in Luke chapter 4. I'm reading out of verse number 14 out of the Amplified, and it says it this way. Jesus had just, remember, the adversary was trying to tempt Jesus to get Jesus to try to steal Jesus' identity, to kill his purpose, to destroy his life, but he wasn't successful. And see, what happened was, is when Jesus passed the test of the temptation. What do you mean Jesus was tempted of the devil? Well, it said Jesus was a man anointed by God who walked in a physical body just like yours and mine. And yes, he was tempted by the adversary, but he overcame him. And guess what? You can overcome him and all his temptations as well. But Jesus goes on to say this. He says this. This is what it says about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, then Jesus went back full and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, that Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered into the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And Jesus stood up to read, and there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the scroll and found the place where it is written, Isaiah 61:1. And this is what he said. He made this declaration. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he, talking about the Spirit of the Lord, has anointed me. He's anointed me, the Messiah, to do what? This is Jesus understanding his purpose. To do what? To preach, hallelujah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He says to send forth as deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, are crushed, broken down by calamity. And he says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. So Jesus says, my whole purpose, his whole ministry was to come to preach, to set at liberty those who are bound, to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus was called to do, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus came to make you and I free. And in fact, it says this, who qualifies for this freedom? Who's eligible to be made free by the Lord Jesus Christ? How on earth do you receive it? Well, it says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31. Glory to God. This is what Jesus said. He said, so Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. So who is able to receive this freedom that Jesus came to make available into the whole world? All those who make a decision to believe in him. It's made available to the whole world, even though the whole world wouldn't receive it. It's not because it's not available, but he says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto them. He says, Jesus says this. He says this to those who believe in him. If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. This is John chapter 8, verse 31 out of the Amplified. He says, if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth of what? The truth of God's word, and that truth will make you free. Then the people who heard this, the religious leaders who were standing around it, they said to Jesus, they answered back to him. He says, we are Abraham's offspring, meaning we was born with privilege. We was born entitlement. We was born already righteous. I've already been dipped in, already been sprinkled by the Catholic Church. I already said a confession when I was 5 years old, but I'm wilding out right now. No. Jesus says, they said, based off of their own credentials, this is what they said. They answered Jesus and they said, we are of Abraham's offspring, descendants, and have never been in bondage to anybody. What do you mean by saying you will make us free? Now, what they're saying to Jesus is they're trying to clap back at Jesus, like, man, please, we're not under bondage to anybody, because they're thinking from a natural standpoint. Jesus is talking to them from a spiritual standpoint. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So Jesus said this back to them. He says, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is a slave to sin. So if you are still practicing sin, if you are still committing sin, if you are still doing it even without any restraints at all, Jesus says you are a slave to sin. In other words, no matter how good you think you are, no matter who your mama and daddy is, no matter if your father was pastor so-and-so, your mama was sister prayed right, your grandpapa was bishop so-and-so, laid the first brick in the church, I can tell you from personal experiences, when I was growing up, I used to believe I can get on the coattails of my father because my father was a pastor, until one day I had a rude awakening and God says, you will have to stand before me on your own, not based off of what your father did, but he says, based on the fact of what did you do about Jesus? And he's saying the same thing to you and I today. He says, what did you do about Jesus? Because Jesus came to make you free. But the only way you receive that freedom is you have to believe on him. So Jesus is talking. Now he's talking to people who in the natural, you would think they got clout because they are religious leaders. But you know what I found out years ago, we was out one time ministering on the streets, inviting people to meet my Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we came across some people and they said, hey man, we asked them the question, have you ever been born again? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus? They start saying, man, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm an apostolic. And I asked them the question, that sounds great on a postcard, but do you know Jesus? Have you ever received him as your personal Lord and Savior? And they said, well, I've been baptized. I said, well, if you got baptized, but you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you went in the water, a dry sinner. You came out of the water, a wet sinner, but nothing on the inside of you changed if you have not made a decision to believe in and receive Jesus as your Savior. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible says. How do you know that? Because Jesus goes on to tell them, he says, so if the Son liberates you, if the Son makes you free men, how? By you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if you want to truly be liberated, if you want to be free from the practices of sin, if you want to be free from the spirit of bondage, he says the only way you're going to be able to do that, remember, he says he came to preach the gospel. He says one of his purposes was come to preach good tidings, preach the gospel to the poor. Remember, he says, if you want to be free, he says, if you truly want me to liberate you, to make you free from that spirit of bondage, from the slavery of sin, he says, if that's the case, he says, then you are really and unquestionably free the moment you receive him, believe on him as your personal Lord and Savior. What does all that mean? You must be born again. You can't be made free. Jesus can't make you free until you are born again. He says this in John chapter 3, verse number 5. Jesus says this. He's talking to Nicodemus. Again, Nicodemus is a religious leader, and Jesus is talking to him. Nicodemus is paraphrasing it as like, hey, how is it, Jesus, that you're able to do all these great things you're doing? Because nobody can do the things you're doing except God be with him. Jesus says, I tell you, most assuredly, I notify you that except you be born again, you cannot see, comprehend, understand the kingdom of God or God's way of doing things. And Nicodemus was like, can a man go back up in his mama's womb when he is old? Jesus says to him here in verse number 5, Jesus says, and answered him. Again, I'm reading from John 3, verse 5. Out of the Amplified, he says this. Jesus answers and says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot ever enter into the kingdom of God. What is born from the flesh is flesh. Of the physical is physical. And what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Do not be surprised or astonished at my telling you, you must all be born new from above. How are you born anew from above? The moment you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of your spirit. He makes the great exchange with you. He takes out that old sin nature. He takes out that old dominion of darkness. He takes out that old nature of sin whereby you would, remember when you was practicing sin before, when you was continuously practicing sin without any restraints at all, with not even thinking about the fact that you sinning, he says, when you are born again from above, he takes out that old sin nature and he replaces it with his nature, which is through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people say, well, so he makes that great exchange, and then what happens? You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of your spirit because he is the Spirit of truth, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. And we found out that when you are born again, you get the nature of God on the inside. Remember, it says, if anybody be in Christ, then they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. What's made new? Your spirit, man. Now you are a spirit. You're a three-part being. You are a spirit that possesses a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, but you live in the physical body. When you are born anew from above, born again, your spirit, man, the real you, is made new. Now your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, still will think the same way it thought before until you begin to do what we're going to talk about here in a minute about renewing your mind. Your body will still respond the same way it will, but not as much, because see, what happens is when situations and circumstances, even temptations come, you get a signal from your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and it tells your body to do one thing. But you also get a signal from your spirit that tells your body to do something. Well, it tells your soul to do one thing. Your body tells your soul to do something altogether different. The determining factor is, which one are you going to listen to? Are you listening to your flesh, your five physical senses? Or are you going to listen to what the spirit, the Holy Spirit, is saying to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, what to do? You are the determining factor. You got some people out there saying, man, God sent Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Well, God does not condemn. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, the verdict is already in. You have been found not guilty. Why? Because Christ paid the full price for every sin, iniquity, transgression, past, present, and future that you would do. Now, does that mean you can still go out there and just wild out and live whatever kind of life you want to? Absolutely not. But Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge it, to reject it, to condemn it. He says, to pass sentence on it. He says, the world, he says, but he sent his Son into the world that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to make you free. And this is where we're going to go in this. I think this might be where we're going to stop. It says this in Romans chapter 8, verse number 13. It says this. Remember, Jesus came to make you free. It says this. It says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, remember, your body sends signals to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, the dictates of your flesh, means your five physical senses, you will surely die or separate yourself from God. He says, but if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making distinct, dead, the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, which we have now received, is not a spirit of slavery. Remember, Jesus was telling those religious leaders before that they were slaves to sin. But then he says, but now when you are born again, when you are led by the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit of God, he says, when you are born anew, he says, you have not received that spirit of bondage again to fear. He says, but you have received a spirit of adoption. I didn't give you a spirit of slavery to put you once again into bondage to fear. He said, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship. In the bliss of this, which we cry, Abba, Father, our Father, Father. He says, the Spirit himself, talking about the Holy Spirit, thus testifies together with our spirit. Remember, you receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit, and the Holy Spirit testifies with your spirit that you are truly a child of God. When? When you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. And he says, if you are children of God, then we are his heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. And remember, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, as you are 1 Corinthians 6, 19. He says it this way. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? And where does the Holy Spirit live? Within you, and whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. The moment you are born again, the moment you are born from above, how does Jesus make you free? The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord, as the moment you receive him as your Lord and Savior, he makes the great exchange. He takes out that old sin nature and replaces it with his own nature, the nature of the kingdom of God. through the person of the Holy Spirit, who now lives and dwells in you forever. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says it this way: now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you are no longer a slave to fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you are no longer a slave to sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you have been made free. Did you see that? He goes on to say this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says this: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom which Christ has made us free. And what did he tell you? Now that you're free, don't get entangled again with a yoke of bondage or a yoke of slavery or a slavery to sin or a slavery to fear or whatever other kind of any bondages that the adversary would love to get you tied back into. Jesus came to make you free. But the only way you are able to receive that freedom is you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to make a decision right now that from this day forward, I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And because he's the Lord of my life, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Because he's the Lord of my life, I'm no longer have received the spirit of bondage. Because he's the Lord of my life, I'm no longer condemned. He says he did not come to condemn the world, but through the world, through him, the world might find salvation. That word salvation means healing, wholeness, deliverance, freedom. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now, today, right now. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this: the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe the word of God that's been released today, if you believe what God has said unto you through this, me, what his servant, to pronounce the word of the Lord, to speak the word of the Lord to you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening to this, pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I receive your offer of forgiveness. I receive freedom right now. I believe I have it in accordance to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, welcome you into right relationship. What do you do now? Man, you got to find a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now he's given you an identity as a son or daughter of God. Now he's given you a purpose to do what? To make other disciples, to share the good news of the gospel just like Jesus did, and for you to be able to do what? To live the life, the God kind of life that Christ came to make available to you. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Knight Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here at Kingdom Encounter Live. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.